All right, it's about 4:15 in the morning, 04. We're headed to Orange, Mass. to start recording number 500. Let's go, we're in mission flight. All right. Hello and welcome to Oscar Mike Radio. Now, you saw the earlier clip, 04, I was rolling out to get here, and we're here at Junktown, and I'm with Mistress Carrie, which means we're rolling the odometer, Mistress.
Yeah, number 500.
But we're all about Sipper Gumby, Oscar Mike, and all that, and you've got this cool, like, other stuff going on. Can you tell us about that before we get going?
Yeah, so a lot of people know that I'm married to a Marine who recently retired. And 4 years ago, we kind of picked up the veteran skydiving event that I had worked on for years. And now the Marine Scout Sniper Association and I partner, and we do a skydive boogie for veterans every year. So it's not just Marines, it's not just snipers, but it's all branches of the military, all eras of veterans. And we work with Junktown Skydiving in Orange, and they give us discounted tandem skydives. And then we fundraise and we have raffles and we try to give veterans an outlet for that adrenaline seek that they're looking for, but in a safe way. And a lot of people think skydiving, they're like, what do you mean safe way? But this is the birthplace of commercial skydiving. A lot of people don't know that,
really?
That this is the first drop zone that had non-military jumpers. So after World War II, a bunch of crazy guys bought all of this old military gear and started commercial skydiving in the United States right here at Junktown in Massachusetts, which has been my home drop zone since the late 90s. And so we were looking for a way to get veterans together. It's regulated. It is safe. It is a way for veterans of all different branches and eras. There's a lot of hurry up and wait when you're dealing with the weather. So it gives people a chance to hang out. We make food. We do raffles. But the most important thing is we're building this community of people. And usually once somebody jumps, the next year they want to come out and support the event, or they want to come out and cheer on the veterans that are jumping this year. It gives veterans a chance to jump with their spouses, their battle buddies. We've had guys jump with their kids once they turn 18. And so every year this event is growing. It's awesome. And we got great weather.
You got perfect weather.
Yeah.
It's really a great thing. You know, one of the things that I see, though, that I want to talk to you about, because, you know, I'm going to talk with the Rolling Thunder chapters here in Massachusetts. And there's a lot of civilians in that chapter. You're a civilian.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. I really think the next phase of veterans advocacy is the civilian interacting with us and meeting us there, and we got to welcome them in. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I say this to veterans all the time. If every issue in the veterans community could be solved by veterans alone, it would have been solved 10 times already. But I think the stats, and correct me if I'm wrong, you would know better than me, that, what is it, 3% of the population are veterans?
Yes.
Which means there's 97% of the population that are not veterans. They may love a veteran. They may be married to a veteran. They may have a veteran for a parent or a grandfather or like somebody. But 97% of the population are civilians that are grateful for your service, that really don't know a lot about the military. So they don't know how to say thank you. They don't know how to get involved. And so that's been my work, is being that bridge. My trips overseas,
I
know more about veteran stuff than most civilians, but I'm not a veteran. And so I look at myself as a bridge to try and get more civilians to understand where the gaps in care for veterans are, where there are opportunities for grateful civilians to be able to give to the veterans community, to show that they appreciate your service and they want to honor your service. And to get more people involved, there are a lot of veteran businesses out there that civilians want to be able to go and support, but they don't know how to do that. So one of the things I did is, and you're very active on this, especially with Oscar Mike Radio, is the Mistress Carrie Veterans Rock group on Facebook.
Lots of good information there.
And it's a way for civilians to be able to just go into this group and ask a question. There's a lot of VSOs that are in that group that are very quick to answer questions about if you've got a veteran, you know, a World War II grandfather and you want to know where he served because they didn't talk about it. How do you go about getting their DD-214? What happens? How do you get veterans resources for a funeral? Or if you've got a veteran in your life that might be struggling, what resources are available to them? There's this disconnect that I think is slowly going away between the veterans community and the civilians community, and it's better for everyone. Because as veterans, you guys need us to know what you've done. And you're the last people to sing your own praises.
We do have that problem.
And for the civilians, we don't know how you need us. We think you guys have got everything squared away.
Right.
And what civilians learn when they go to veterans events is where the gaps in care are, how strong civilian voices are getting behind you to be able to demand better representation in Washington, to be able to demand more funding for resources, and where the gaps are between government-funded programs and the civilian nonprofits and how those gaps can be filled in. But you're absolutely right. If the civilian population doesn't get behind the veterans, the issues that still exist aren't going to get solved.
So form follows function. I'm going to the Massachusetts Chapter 2 Rolling Thunder event today, and I cover that and what they do. But these chapters are increasingly well led by women. Big shout out to Michelle Hamilton, Army veteran, right? And I'm seeing it more and more where women are starting to, dare I say, assert themselves, like, hey, we got a spot at the table, we served, we can lead. And they're being effective. And in a way, you kind of model that in the civilian world.
I think there are, and there's always been the debate, right, about women's roles in places when women started becoming first responders and then got into the military and then started doing jobs that were traditionally male. There are benefits, and I see it in my marriage, I think a lot of people do, that problem solving has different angles to get to the same end result. And there is a benefit to having men and women looking at the same problem, because the perspective of how to solve that problem can be different. And I saw it when I was in Afghanistan. You know, a military example that I give to people is, there would be units of men in the infantry that would roll into a community in Afghanistan.
Yes.
And they told me, you know, they went in, they spent the money, they dug a well for a village because they saw all these women in these Afghan villages walking miles to get water. And so they thought, hey, we're going to go into this community, we're going to do a good thing, we're going to dig a well. And then the wells got sabotaged and they thought it was terrorism. And what it was the women in the village sabotaged in the well, and the men in the military didn't understand why these women would sabotage. And what they didn't realize is that they took the women's only social outlet away. It was the only time the women in these villages in Afghanistan were allowed out of the house unsupervised. They were in groups of just women, and that walk to get water was the only time they could commune together. And it took women in the military to point out to the men, hey guys, you just took their only social outlet away. That's why they're not ungrateful for the ease of access to the water.
But we need to talk, damn it.
But you took away the only time in their culture that they could be together and commune. And what the U.S. military realized is that having women in their units, they were missing out on an intel opportunity because the women in these villages wouldn't talk to the American men. And once you put female American soldiers with these units, you all of a sudden gained a bridge to a wealth. Let's be honest, the women in these villages are the ones with all the intel. And you had to get a way to get it. And having these women in these units to be able to go in and to be able, the female medics, to offer prenatal care and all these things that the male medics were not able to do, it provided a wealth of intel. And that was a really interesting part of my embed trips, was being embedded with all male infantry guys. But as the woman, understanding what women could bring to the table. And so it doesn't surprise me that now as these women have served and retired or ended their service and entered the workforce as civilians and veterans, what skills they bring to the table, what optics they bring to a problem that is just a different point of view.
I'll just look.
The women veterans now are going, hey, hold on a second, guys. We might have a solution to this problem that you haven't thought of.
It's very refreshing to see. I got to ask you, does this ever, it never seems to get old for you. Like you're out there in the public, you're out there giving energy all the time, and then it's the weekend, and you're here, you're motivated, ready to go. I mean, talk about, she should have been an embark NCO on the Marine Corps, ladies and gentlemen, her operations that type. But it never seems to get old.
Especially with an event like this.
What else do we need?
When you're trying to get civilians involved with veterans' causes, right, I think it can be intimidating because you're like, a civilian is like, well, I don't know anything about guns, or I don't know anything about this, or I don't. But this event shows that there's a way to build that bridge. Skydiving's been a passion of mine for decades. It was my escape from the noise of my very loud and very all-encompassing job. This is where I would go on the weekends to decompress, to be able to commune with a group of people that had nothing to do with the music business. So this event is bridging something I love, something that has an aspect to the military, right? So there's, you know, Gold Wing guys, there's airborne guys, but it also gets you outside. It's something that I love to do. It's something I am doing with my husband. And so every civilian has their passion. Whether it's gardening, whether it's race cars, whatever it is that you love in your life, there is a way to translate that into something that can help a portion of the veterans community. You can't look at the whole elephant and think, how am I going to eat that? You have to look at that saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And so how could something like this get old? It's a beautiful summer day. In New England, we wait all winter for days like this, right?
Banner day, by the way.
Yeah. And this is a hobby of mine that I love, that I am passionate about, that I know from my own experience how helpful for mental health, for community, for the social aspect of it, how powerful this sport can be to get a bunch of people together. So this is a convergence of so many aspects of my life. A day like today, how could it get old? Not only that, but on the work side for me, I work in rock and roll, man. And some of the biggest pockets of my audience are veterans. So how could it get old that I'm finding a way to give back to the people that have given me this amazing career that I still get up every day and love? So no, how could this get old? It doesn't get old.
Well, speaking of getting old, I mean, we met, about 8 years.
Excuse me. Yeah.
And now looking at it, I'm finding ways to take Oscar Mike Radio and advocate for veterans. There's an issue now with the Office of the Veteran Advocates funding being cut. And I'm able to use this platform to raise awareness, amplify the need to have that department fully funded. It's just been an amazing ride. And I just appreciate every 100 episodes you coming on and
sharing. Hell yeah.
And hopefully you've seen that the time you spent has been worth it.
Yeah, worth it. Are you kidding me? I feel bad that I made you drive out to the drop zone in the middle of nowhere because we had this event going on today.
Semper Gumby.
Yeah, Semper Gumby, man.
We either did it here or we weren't going to do it all because we just had to be Semper Gumby.
Yeah, it's just like, with your service, it's like, and the rock,
right.
It's like have a roll of duct tape ready because you're going to have to figure it out.
And we are. And so, again, just thank you.
I think before we end this and you go about the rest of your incredibly hectic day, you're not going to be the one that sings your own praises. So allow me to do that for you.
I'm going to allow you.
As someone that does this for a living, getting to 500 episodes, the amount of work for an hour episode, the amount of man hours it takes to research, produce, edit, to book the guests, to do everything that you do, it looks easy. Any tradesman will be able to tell you that the reason why it looks easy is because you put in the 10,000 hours to get good at it, to make it look easy. And what you do for the veterans community, being a hub, bringing issues to the forefront, making people aware of things they don't know, and doing it in such a produced, professional, accessible manner, that's not easy. And you do it exceptionally well. And the fact that you've hit 500 episodes is a huge accomplishment. So congratulations to you. It's a little too early to drink booze. Otherwise, I would toast you. And there's no drinking and skydiving until after the plane lands.
Anyway,
but cheers to you, because it's a huge accomplishment. You should be incredibly proud of yourself that you have parlayed your military career and all of that experience, and you have found a way to continue to give back and to continue to galvanize your community and to do it in a way that is constantly growing and bringing new people into the discussion. Good on you, man. It's awesome.
Well, appreciate it. You know, we were separate Gumby. I got to be Oscar Mike. She's going to be, you know, getting all the jump.
Yeah, we got to start throwing veterans out of planes, man, with parachutes.
That's the best part. Mistress, again, thank you for your time. We're having a blast. We're mission in flight. I'll see you hopefully before another 100, but have a great day today. I mean,
right?
How about a banner day?
Right? This is what it's all about, man. Yep. It's almost time to light the grill. Hot dogs. We got raffle prizes. It couldn't be more perfect day. Thank you to Mother Nature, because you never know when it comes to skydiving what you're going to get. We got a good one today. Awesome. Congratulations.
You got it.
Oh. I'm so happy for you.
And do you, I got to ask.
Yeah.
What do you think of the hat?
Dude, the hat's good. I just want you to see this. It's the biggest hat that's ever been made, ever.
Only one of a kind. And,
I love it.
You know, I love it too. So thank you very much. I know you got to get Oscar Mike.
Yeah.
I will see you soon.
Join the Mistress Carrie Veterans Rock page on Facebook. Stay up to date with everything that's going on. It's an awesome way to stay connected and to get involved if you are new to the veterans community as a civilian and you're just wondering how you can help. That's where you can find out.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Travis Parry, the host of Oscar Mike Radio. Oscar Mike Radio is sponsored by TNT Pin Company and Outright.ai. I'm supported by Case On Shaving Company. Look at this nice chrome dome. Exceptional Parent Magazine and Fight Camp. Be your strongest combination. Co-produced with Sinister One Productions. What's your podcast doing? This episode is going to be, again, live, different, but very engaging for the people joining me and also the topic at hand. We're going to be talking about Rolling Thunder at the national level, the local level, and what they all do. You're going to see some very engaging and very serious ceremonies on how Rolling Thunder serves our veterans. It is with honor, and I'm humbled by their participation of Rolling Thunder Mass Chapter 2 as they join me on this special occasion for Oscar Mike Radio. Stand by. Don't go where you are. We're going to get this going.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
I am an American. I was a POW. I have served my country. I need no one to tell me what allegiance I own to my flag, to my home.
Of the United States of America.
This is my country. I have fought for it. I have been imprisoned for it. I could have died for it.
And to the republic for which it stands.
This flag stands for me, for my love of my country, my family, my friends. I did not forsake it when I was beaten, when I was starved, and when I almost died.
One nation, under God, indivisible.
I am one man. I have one country. I worship one God. Under God, I was saved. Under God, I have no fear.
With liberty and justice for all.
My allegiance is to liberty and to justice. My flag represents the best of myself, my effort, my home, my country. I pledge allegiance to the flag. It is my privilege and my duty. I have earned it. Tell me not how I have given you so much. I am an ex-POW. I take nothing more from me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Those who have served and those currently serving in branches of our United States military are ever mindful that the sweetness of enduring peace has always been tainted by the bitterness of personal sacrifice. See here a table which has been raised to call to attention to its purpose, which is to honor our missing service members. This table, set for one, is small, symbolizing the frailty of one prisoner alone against his or her oppressors, and representing all Americans still missing from each of the five services: Army, Marine Corps, Navy, Air Force, and Coast Guard. These brave men and women answered our nation's call and served the cause of freedom. So then this table is a very special way of symbolizing the fact that members of our armed forces are missing from our ranks. Now let us review the meaning of the items on our missing man table. The table is round, showing our everlasting concern for our men and women still missing. The tablecloth is white. The cloth symbolizes the purity of their motives when answering the call to serve. A single red rose is displayed in a vase. The red rose reminds us of the life of each of the missing. The yellow ribbon. Tied so promptly around the vase represents the yellow ribbon worn upon the lapels of thousands who bear witness to our nation's unyielding determination to demand a proper accounting of our POW and MIAs. A slice of lemon on a bread plate. Reminds us of the bitter fate of those captured and missing in a foreign land. A pinch of salt on each bread plate. Symbolizes the tears endured by those missing and their families who seek answers. A Bible is placed prominently on the table. The Bible is a symbol of faith to sustain those lost from our country. The United States was founded as one nation under God. An inverted mug. Can be seen at the place setting. The inverted mug symbolizes the POW MIA's inability to share a toast. The lighted candle. reflects our hope for their return. Let us pray to God that all will be returned. Let us remember and never forget their sacrifices. May God forever watch over them and their families. And may each of us live worthy of their sacrifice in the way that we live and in the way that we serve.
All right, so we've seen the Pledge of Allegiance and we've seen the Missing Man table, and it surprises me that a lot of Americans haven't seen those two things. It surprises me that a lot of Americans don't know what Rolling Thunder is. Usually it's just, oh, they're another motorcycle gang, and that's not the case, and maybe I'll get Michelle up here to tell us what the real deal is and set us straight. But one thing that I've noticed about Mass Chapter 2 is part of your reverence, your honor for those who have not come home, is this cage. And it makes a, I remember seeing it, Dean, my first time in, was it Taunton? At the Vietnam era veterans celebration they had down there, and you brought it and you all went through it, and I couldn't believe, like, you read about the stories of the pilots ejecting and then, you know, being put in these cages, but until you see it and understand what that means, it just brings it all home. So my partner here for the next part of this show is Dean. He's going to explain some particulars about the cage, its importance, its significance, and what it means. And I just want to thank you for your time today.
Thank you for yours, sir.
So starting off, is this a scale model of the cage, or is this the actual size of a POW cage?
This is the actual size. The rope is from a New Bedford rope place. It is accurate to the exact time that they built these, and it's the rope that they actually used. I tried to simulate every single knowledgeable thing. I studied it from the internet. It's the exact size, 4 feet by 4 feet by 4 feet, and that's as much as they've gotten. Some can be built differently, but this is what the scale was that I found out.
And what's it built out of?
It's bamboo and the rope.
And did you assemble this, or did somebody else build it for you?
No, I did. I collaborated with Michelle Hamilton, our president. At that time, she was on her 10-year stint with being the president. And I worked with her day in and day out, giving her follow-ups, getting advice. As I was building it, we shared ideas. She gave me the freedom to do what I needed to do, and it took about 5 days. I had a canopy in my garage, my driveway, and one thing led to another, and
where it is. Now, you served our country, correct?
I did, sir.
And which branch?
The Army.
The Army? You're in the Army now. What did you do in the Army?
I was an engineer and built bridges that floated on the water.
I've watched A Bridge Too Far, where they literally build the floating bridges, and
yes.
I'm like, I wouldn't drive a tank on one of those, but people did.
Yes, they did.
It's
They're
crazy.
Very secure.
Really?
Yes. You can build it as a flotation across a river, or you can build it to make the whole entire gap so you can have all your trucks go over at one time.
So you build stuff in the Army, and you're building this device, is what I want to call it, because it is a cage, but it's just, it's haunting. It has an effect on me. What was that like, putting this together and realizing that, you know, brother soldiers, Marines, and even sailors had been imprisoned in one of these devices?
It started from when I went down to Washington, D.C. to do the demonstration. And down there was an older gentleman who had a beard and all that stuff. He really fitted the part. He's passed away now, but he was in a similar cage down there to show the public and educate the public what they endured in Vietnam. So that was my inspiration from him to build this.
And, you know, I have a very visceral, emotional reaction when I see this cage. And I'm trying to understand how a guy my size could fit in one of these. And I'm like, I couldn't. I could fit. I could be stuffed in there. but it's designed to dehumanize a person.
That's correct. And by the time you're done in that cage, you're going to be as thin as ribs showing. They don't want you moving around. They don't want you having exercise. They want to keep you trapped in it for as long as they feel the need to, until death sometimes.
And so it's designed to break you.
It's designed to break you in many ways, physically, emotionally.
When you met that gentleman in Washington, D.C., though, I've read some stories where, yeah, their bodies were broken, but that they never really got their spirit a lot of times. Do you find that to be true? Like he was in that cage and then he got out and he's like, you know what? I'm still here. What's that like talking to somebody like that?
It's very moving to know that they have the endurance, the strength, the trust in God. And that's why we use the Bible today in our missing man table. I think faith has a lot to do with it. They want to get home to their family members, whether they were girlfriends, wives, fiancés, whatever it might have been. They're grasping onto the love that they have for either this country or their family.
How many lives do you think have been touched by what you have done and created for us?
I think it's a huge number. It's immeasurable. However, when we did a parade in Fall River, I could hear people on the sides of the streets and stuff like that. And a couple gentlemen who were in Vietnam at the time, they felt it very emotional, to the point that it brought back a lot of crazy memories. Mind you, we're still moving, but I heard parts of that. So it really did resonate with those people who were boots on the ground.
Last couple of questions here, Dean. One of the things I hear a lot is, well, are there really POWs still out there in this day and age? Are there really people that aren't found? And that shocks me that people don't know. Is that what keeps you going with Rolling Thunder?
That's not the only thing.
Okay.
We are a family of many different families. We work together. There is no one person that's better than the other. Michelle has taught that from day one. This is your chapter. She doesn't get the power to her head or anything like that. She lets us decide things. We have board meetings, and just everything is worked over. It's offered to us. We have a say, volunteerism. We do it all out of our heart. There's no one that gets paid in our chapter whatsoever. Everything, we even at our events, we all have to pay for our own entry fee into those so we can eat and participate in those.
I've just always been impressed where there's a lot of groups that say they're, you know, for the veteran, or there's rah-rah veteran, this and that. But time and time again, I hear that, hey, you know, I made a call and Rolling Thunder was there. You know, I needed, you know, something for a school, or, you know, I needed somebody to just, you know, get a guy a suit or some groceries, and Rolling Thunder was there. And, you know, we both serve in the military. But one thing I noticed about Rolling Thunder is, at least this chapter, is there's a lot of civilians who are a part of what you all do. How does that make you feel?
That's really heartwarming, because either those civilians have family members or they just have a passion to try to give back to the community at large. I would like to hit on one of the things you mentioned. In Fall River, there was a veteran who needed their bathroom updated to the point where they would be safe getting in and out. Our chapter gathered all our resources, all of our people. We went there, we gutted it, and we put a new bathroom for him so he's safe. He won't break a hip and make things all more difficult and stuff like that. One of our members, Pete, he works at a certain facility with fire trucks and stuff. They made it possible so a veteran could get a van so we could he could drive himself to appointments and whatnot. So we go above and beyond the call of duty, if you say. We make fundraisers and raising money and trying to make sure we can help people with paying bills. You just need a DT-214 and an honorable discharge.
Now, you have this book here, and it was on the lectern before we got started. Could you tell me what this book signifies, please?
This book here is very meaningful. It signifies the entire build of our tiger cage, and we also have gotten donated from a widow who her husband used to work in the Brockton VA. He wasn't a veteran, but he gave to the veterans all up there. So she thought it was a great idea to give it to us so we could continue our educational purpose with this tiger cage, to let the civilian world know what our veterans do endure, whether it's overseas in whatever country it might be, the struggles that we are up against. And a lot of the civilians had no idea until this cage was replicated to the exact measurements and everything of that. So it's very educational, it's moving for them, and hopefully it gives insight to them respecting us more, because in Vietnam, when our soldiers came home, they were treated very poorly. It's beyond the magnitude of trying to explain. Those who were alive back then did see the bad welcome home, so to speak. Through the years, we have actually changed the tables, and now we're more welcoming of our home soldiers, which is a huge improvement from back then. And our government has a department who goes out to all these different countries that allow us to look for the remains and bring those soldiers back and have the DNA testing to send them to the correct family so they have closure.
Now, I believe I've been to a couple of Rolling Thunder meetings, and you all, if once someone's found, will talk about that as part of your meeting agenda and what that means to you all. What's it mean to you when someone is found and you realize they're coming back home?
I think it's the closure that most families are asking for and wish for. And we have a member in our organization whose family member has not been returned yet, and it's gone on for a very long time. She has a lot of hope that before she passes on, that she will get that opportunity, like others may have, to get their family members home and trying to have closure in that.
Well, Dean, it's one thing for me to sit there and talk about POW MIA or Rolling Thunder just from my view from the outside looking in. And I say that because, you know, to be candid with you, you all made it very clear that I'm part of you all, and that just that does something to me. But, you know, I'm not in the chapter officially, but I still feel part of it whenever I come to a meeting. But it's one thing to watch it, but it's another thing to see you all doing an experience in it. And you've just made this time with me so special. Thank you so much.
We thank you for the opportunity for you to help us get our name out there, what we do for our veterans community. And it's a key point, like you said, we're made up of veterans and non-veterans. You don't have to have a motorcycle to belong. You just have to have a heart for our veteran community.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is Dean, and he built this cage and talked with me about it. You can learn so much more by going to the Rolling Thunder Chapter 2 Facebook page, and I'll have that link in the Oscar Mike Radio show post. We're going to continue. We've got a next special guest coming up. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Okay. Fantastic.
Thanks.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we're back. I went to a Rolling Thunder Mass Chapter 2 meeting a couple weeks ago, and one of the things that absolutely warmed this black dead husk of a heart was the kids. Like, they have children at these meetings, and you go to some of these things, and it's like, I don't want to hear the kids. But I'm like, how much energy do the kids provide? And they're there, and they might be running around, but every now and then they listen and do something, and they're like, hey, you know, Eva here, little B, is going to do something for us. I'm like, well, what is this? You don't see this very often when you go out to these events where the kids are involved and children of the future. And if you all remember, I was like very happy that the children were part of this. They're our future, and we need them as we, I'm going to get old, Eva, and I'm, some people would say, Eva, that I'm old already, but.
You're not old.
I'm not old?
No.
This is the best day ever. Well, you'll understand this one day. It's not the years, it's the miles. But anyway, so.
Age is just a number.
Really? Okay. We have them. All right. I'll remember that. Before we get into what you're going to talk about, tell me a little bit about who you are, and we'll go from there.
Okay. My name is Eva Frank. I'm 12 years old. I'm from Fall River, Massachusetts. I have a brother. He's Kai. My mom and my dad, and I actually did a lemonade stand for Rolling Thunder and raised $250 for the organization.
That is amazing. Now, what do you think about your mom and dad in Rolling Thunder?
I think it's awesome. We have some military relatives in our family that have served, and some of them have passed away, and some of them have came home and they're still living today. And I just think that it's an honor and a privilege to be able to not only talk about them, but to respect them in a way.
Well, it's just something else. Like you got the idea to create a lemonade stand and raise money and put it toward a veteran in need. And I can tell you as a veteran myself, and people have helped me out along the way, it's appreciated. And you didn't do it for the accolades or praise, right? You did it because, you know, you the example your parents set. What's it like? Now, I got to ask you this. You have a little brother, right?
Yes.
And little brothers can, I've had little brothers myself, and they can be annoying sometimes, right?
Really annoying.
But you took care of Kai. You kept him entertained. Like, how did you do that? Because he's a ball of energy.
It takes a lot of practice. It does. It takes a lot of practice and a lot of patience to, tell him, hey, this is not what we're supposed to do at this time. Maybe we can do it later. And he listens, but sometimes he's like, I want to do it my way, like, my way or the highway. And so, yeah, it's just like you gotta deal with, not deal with him, but, like, make a deal with him. Like, we can do this
negotiate.
Later. Yeah, negotiate. Thank you. We can do this later. Or we can do this later. Like, if he wants to do something and we can't do it now, like, hey, let's do this later when we're in a different area. And, like, he just listens to it after a while.
No, I'm the eldest, and I didn't do any of that negotiating stuff, Eva. It's my way or the highway. So, I mean, maybe you're smarter than I am. We'll see. So we're at the meeting, and you did this program. You did this outreach that you want to do and share with the chapter. You're going to do it now. How did that come to be, and what is it?
It's the protocol and significance of the TAPS, which is a song. Well, not a song. Well, yeah, it is a song. For if a military member has fallen, and before it was that it was made from a song called Tattoo.
Really?
Yeah, hold on, I have it written down here. General Daniel Butterfield, he was a Union, had made.
And you're going to do it for us now?
Yeah.
Well, take it away. I'm just so happy you're here.
Thank you.
Slow is smooth.
Thank
your time.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, this has been one of the best parts of my day right here. It's all you.
Thank you. During the Rolling Thunder candlelight vigil, while TAPS was being played, I made the mistake of moving. I did not know the protocol, and I saw my mom upset, so I went to comfort her. President Michelle came up to me after and told me the mistake I made, and has tasked me with researching the significance and protocol of TAPS, so not only I can learn, but I can help others learn too. Here listed below is what I have learned since doing my research. TAPS is not an acronym, but it is the name of a 24-note song traditionally played by a bugle in the military to signal the end of the day or lights out. It is also used to honor any military fallen service member. The song was created in 1862 during the Civil War. It was adapted by General Daniel Butterfield, he was Union, for another song called Tattoo, because it is now used to signify the end of a service member's duty. It is a sad but powerful tribute. This is below is the protocol that both military and civilians should follow during the playing of TAPS.
Fine.
All present not in uniform should stand at attention.
Yeah.
Thank you. With their right hand over their heart. Men not in uniform should remove all headgear and hold them in their left hand while placing the right over their heart. Individuals in the military should give the salute at the first note of the song and keep it until the last note. Veterans and active duty service members not in uniform should also give the salute. If you are inside and not in uniform, it is respectful to stand during TAPS. When TAPS is being played on military bases, salutes are not required. At a military funeral or memorial, any individual should not move out of the respect of the fallen. On a military base, at the end of the day, no formal protocol is required. Through the mistake I made, I am thankful that I have learned more about this topic as it will help me become more respectful and help me honor our military. God bless our military and God bless America.
So you present that, and I'm like, wow, I mean, you Michelle corrected you, right? You know, and hey, you know what, Eva? She corrects me too. I mean, it's an equal opportunity thing. So, you know what? I've just learned to accept it like you did and move on from it. But you went and researched this. And the thing is, there really is a protocol you're supposed to follow. You're supposed to be respectful when something like that is playing. And, you know, for those of us who have served and we've had service members pass on, it's a very poignant, meaningful time. And I just, again, the fact that you're, you know, so young and willing to share and do this puts me in a really good place. Like, you know, America's going to be all right.
Yeah, and actually my I do theater, and my theater company is looking to do a play on the military, and it's actually called Rolling Thunder.
Well, I mean, hey, folks, when that comes out, we'll have to do a little field trip and see how that is. Well, thank you.
Theater Rats in Fall River.
Theater Rats in Fall River?
Yes.
All right. We'll follow up on that. Eva, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing and making this time so special. It just means the world to me.
Oh, thank you for having me. This was amazing to do.
And you see, was it that bad?
It was amazing.
All right. All right, folks, we're going to take a little break and be back to close this up. Thank you so much. Stay tuned. And we're back. I'm going to have Michelle close us out, but I wanted to give some of the chapter members a chance to talk with me about their experiences like Dean and Eva have. And my next guest, I have known for quite some time. You're quite a fan of a different part of me, aren't you?
Yes.
We'll talk about that. I want to welcome Harley to Oscar Mike Rito. Harley, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm so glad you're here. And, you know, we have some history, you and I.
Yes.
So I should have brought it, but I crocheted blankets. I had a lot of stuff to load in. I didn't even think about it. And my first real memory of Harley was she wanted the camo blanket. Can you talk about that for us, please?
We have a Mardi Gras fundraiser every year. And every year, Travis crochets a blanket that is gorgeous. And it's always camouflage. And I had my eye on this blanket for so long and had wanted it. And I just had my little baby girl, and she kept trying to steal it. She sleeps with it every night still. We fight for it all the time. And that was one of our biggest things. And not only it's so beautiful, but coming from somebody that you might not always think would be someone that crochets.
Just go ahead and say it, Harley.
And I had a lot of students at the time that were trying to get into sewing and things like that. So to be able to have a role model that can show that you can have so many different sides of you and create so many beautiful things in life was amazing to me as well.
Well, I mean, you created a life, you created a place here. How was your journey getting into Rolling Thunder?
So I actually started with Rolling Thunder. I was Miss United States Agriculture, and with that, I was going to events. I was trying to help them with different things going on, speaking at events, helping with the pledge. And then I had sponsored a chair at the battleship in Fall River. And when we were there, listening to Michelle on the stage speak about how you could be a cager, you didn't have to ride, learning about not having to be a veteran and that you could help in other ways, and civilians can have a big impact for veterans as well, was a big ordeal for me. And the next day I had got that application and filled it out. So there was a time when I was still coming to the ham and bean dinner when we had that, a lot of the other events with the chairs and the table. It had a big effect on me. And then after that, I wanted to be a part of it. And then I've been wearing the vest since.
So to me, it's very important to mention that you're a civilian. You did not serve in the military.
Yes, I did not serve.
And you know, you're obviously a woman. I mean, you know, I want to state that. And the reason I want to do that is because a lot of female veterans and women in general that I meet want to be involved with a veteran service organization like Rolling Thunder. And they get kind of, you know, apprehensive that they're going to be accepted, or can they make a place for themselves when they want to join them? Will they be accepted? And you've come in like Michelle has and made your place. What would you tell a woman who, or especially one who has not served, about, you know, getting involved with Veterans Advocacy or joining Rolling Thunder?
I think the biggest thing is there's a place for all of us. We all have our own things inside of us that we can bring out to help each other and help those in need. And everybody needs different things from us, and we each can point in, like, what we need. So for myself, I really love the education portion of it. So reading all about Rolling Thunder and our mission statement, I really dove into the education piece of that to make sure that we're not only helping our veterans, our service members, focusing on the families, the kids, and those that maybe aren't sure about what it is and may not be coming to our events. Reading books, we did Reading to Remember, which is now a portion of Rolling Thunder, and being able to do that, we get into different generations to make sure that our veterans, those that haven't come home, and our mission is not forgotten.
There's so many things you could do with your time. And like Kai and like Eva, I see that you bring your daughter to the meetings. And I remember holding her.
Yeah.
It was a really special moment, right? You know, I'm like, oh, wow. I mean, I remember my sons were this small. But as she grows up, she's going to see this example and the other people and the other women in Rolling Thunder. What do you think her journey is going to be like?
I think the biggest part is whether she decides to serve or not, she knows that there's a point in her life where she can help those, whether she decides to wear a uniform or not. My grandfather, who we currently live with, he just turned 90. He is a Korean War veteran. And growing up and seeing somebody that has served and everything that they've gone through, hearing the stories firsthand is something that we need to carry on to our next generations. And I think that she wears her own vest now, and I think she's going to continue to wear it to do what we do now.
Well, Harley, I want to thank you for coming on and talking with me. I mean, it just seems like a blink of an eye, and she's grown like a weed. And, you know, again, the Mardi Gras and the other things, there's just a place for everybody, like the way you said that. Yes. All right, we're going to see if we can get somebody else or get Michelle up here. Thank you for staying with us. We'll be right back. And we're back. My next guest is, and I love his you know, road name. I'm a DC guy, you know, Lobo, Batman, that kind of thing. But my favorite Marvel character, without a doubt, is Ghost Rider.
I love that movie, too. Nicolas Cage, yeah.
You like the Nicolas Cage one?
I love that movie. I know there's an old school version, which is really good tonight.
Well, the motorcycle Nicolas Cage version was definitely the best.
Yeah.
So, okay, but Nick Cage wasn't Johnny Blaze.
No.
Okay. Motorcycle cool, Nick not so much. Did you serve in the military?
I did not. I didn't serve, but my grandfather was in the Korean War.
Oh, wow.
So that...
That kind of, you know, kept this going?
Yeah, so because I didn't serve, my whole drive behind it was to give back for those who did serve.
Yeah.
And that's my way of basically serving them. And my grandfather's name and carrying that on.
I think it's important, Jason, because the Korean War veterans are kind of like lost between the World War II and Vietnam era veterans. But, I mean, they had a hard, hard road. I mean, you read about the Battle of the Frozen Chosen and what the Chinese tried to do. It's really amazing any of them came home. So, again, kind of like Harley and others in Rolling Thunder, you didn't serve in the military, but you see this and you wanted to join the organization. What made you apply?
I had actually, at the time, my brother-in-law was a member.
Oh, yeah?
And a member of Rolling Thunder. And I liked the family-ness and the working together and just giving back and enjoying what we do.
Now, if I may be so, you know, I don't want to assume, but your wife?
Yep.
Is also a member?
Yes, and my son.
So it's truly a family thing.
Yes.
And you ride a motorcycle?
I do.
What do you ride?
Street glide, Harley street glide.
You like the street glides?
I like it because it's not like a complete touring. It is a touring, but it's still got that regular bike feel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's not like the tour.
It's not like a Cadillac, right. But it still got that ruggedness of a.
Well, there's plenty of space for the wife's purse and maybe some stuff if she goes shopping.
Yes.
Okay. Definitely. Okay. But go plenty of speed down the road.
Yes, and comfort from long travel.
Well, that's the thing. I got to ask you, you guys ride in the rain.
We ride no matter what the weather is. Our mission and our thing was the people in the military didn't get to pick the weather.
No.
So that's our way is, you know what? You didn't get to pick the weather, neither do we. So we ride no matter what.
It was crazy. I think it was a Fall River, Memorial Day weekend, and it's pouring buckets. And I remember seeing you all come on the bikes. I'm like, wait a minute. I wasn't riding at the time. And I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, sheets of rain. I couldn't see you all, and there you all were. But it meant a lot for you to be able to complete that ride as a chapter.
Absolutely. We do things together. There's multiple chapters throughout this country. And that particular ride, the Memorial Day, everybody starts at the same exact time all across the country at noontime on the hour.
So that's why we do that. Because I've come out to the casino, right? The Plainview Casino. Is Plain Ridge?
Plain Ridge, yep.
Thank you, sorry. Plain Ridge Casino. And I know that Pete's like, hey, 12 o'clock, kickstand up, let's get going. I'm like, dude, I mean, just chill, man. And Pete doesn't get very excited very much, but, man, he is on it when it comes to that. We have to go at noon. And I didn't understand why. So you're saying nationwide.
Nationwide, Memorial Day weekend, the Sunday, everybody across the country has their ride, and they all leave at 12 noon exact.
I have to ask, did you ever do one of the Washington, D.C. rides where all the bikes showed up?
I did not. I came in after that. So okay. I was here for our first regional ride.
Yeah. The reason I asked that is I always wondered what that would have been like to do one, just one, and I wish they'd do it again, but just once.
I've heard stories. Yeah. I've heard stories of there's hundreds, thousands of bikes, and it takes 12 hours to get all the bikes just out of the parking lot. And people are already coming back, and it's craziness.
It's a little too much for me.
A little bit.
So how long have you been a member of Rolling Thunder?
I think I'm going on 6 years now.
And I have to think, very rarely when I think about the Marine Corps League or the VFW American Legion, I'm a member of the American Legion, I'm a life member of the Marine Corps League, the wives kind of show up sometimes and do the work that, we don't want to do. Just being candid with you, right? When it comes to clean up the kitchen and, hey, honey, come here. But you all are husband and wife in this organization. What's that like to you?
I love it. I love the fact to have my son now as a junior member, something we can do together. When we take the motorcycle, obviously we can't take him. But so we go out, we'll ride together. We do events together. We have a family together.
Nice. Well, again, folks, this is just what makes this so unique and why throughout the years I've really felt at home with Rolling Thunder Mass Chapter 2 and Rolling Thunder as an organization because of the family element. Ghost Rider, I want to thank you for coming on and talking
with me. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. So we're going to see if we can get a couple others, maybe not, and then we'll go on to Michelle to close us out. We'll be right back. And we're back. I mean, this is what I love. I get one, and then I get another, and another, and another, and it just keeps going. And they don't even realize I'm doing it to them. So I've got my next guest here from Massachusetts Rolling Thunder Chapter 2, the secretary of the chapter. She is Becca, and you saw her earlier. Welcome to Oscar Mike Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me and having us. We appreciate it.
Are you kidding me? I've been with you all for years now. This is just the best. And again, I just want to say thank you for what a wonderful ceremony you put on earlier with the Missing Man table. And I really like the fact that the Bible is there because for a lot of us, our faith is what gets us through these hard times. So thank you for making sure that was there.
Absolutely.
How did you become to be involved with Rolling Thunder?
So I worked in the Veterans Service Office for the city of Fall River.
And
this lovely woman.
I was going to say.
name Michelle Hamilton became the new VSO for the city of Fall River. And I worked with her one-on-one for different ceremonies and things like that throughout the Fall River community, for the veteran community. And she basically voluntold me and said, you need to get your ass to this meeting. You need to come check us out. You need to be a part of this. And I said, all right, all right, all right. So I went, my first ever experience was actually the Memorial Day ride. That was back in 2021.
Sounds about right.
Around there. Because it was 2023, because it was right after my son was born. So, yeah.
And you join, you're just like she gets after me. Michelle also volunteers me.
Yes.
You do
what Boss Lady tells you to do.
I just say yes. I just say yes. And
yes, ma'am. What time? Where do I need to be?
It's easy. It's just easy.
It's just easier that way. It's
command syntax is laid out. Okay, whatever you want.
I might be the queen bee, but she's the queen, you know?
Well, it's all good. you joined. What did you start discovering about, you worked in the Veterans Service Office for the city of Fall River, but what's it like, getting to serve in this way?
It is so fulfilling.
Yeah?
So I did not have the honor to serve, but my grandfather was a career man. He started in the Army pilot school before it became the Air Force back in, during World War II times. And my aunts and uncles also served. My husband, who is also a member, he's not here today, but my husband's grandfather was Brown Water Navy during Vietnam.
Oh, wow.
A part of him was, his face was blown off through shrapnel. He had to have surgery, and he went back after that. So we definitely have a strong love for the military in my family, my husband's family. I grew up around, I guess you could say, being an Air Force brat, as it were. My father was born on Massawa Air Force Base in 1951. So it was definitely just embedded in me to just...
It's part of your DNA.
It's part of my DNA. I grew up on SOS and all kinds of stuff, and it just was how it is.
How it is. You're secretary for this chapter now.
Yes.
And it's still fulfilling.
It is. I'm new at it, so I say to everyone all the time, bear with me because I'm still learning, but it's definitely been an eye-opener and definitely a job worth having.
So like I asked Harley, again, I go with the American Legion, and yeah, we have some female veterans there, but it's not... You all are not like everybody else. I think it's a very good thing because, again, I have female veterans. I have women I work with, women I know who like, hey, I want to check it out, but I'm scared I'm not going to be accepted. But you all kind of just made your own place here and done it your way. Mm-hmm. How's that work?
Well, you give a woman the right pair of shoes, she can conquer the world.
It's all about the shoes?
It's all about the shoes.
It's all... I learn something new every day. Okay, I didn't know that. Okay.
If you think about it, during World War II times, who was the backbone of our country while our men were serving?
Well, I do believe Rosie the Riveter was there for a reason.
Yeah. We as women, we did everything, right? We made sure the kids weren't dying in a field somewhere and making sure there was food for, our loved ones when they came home, no matter what, at the end of the day. And, sometimes even had to work. I work full time and take care of the kids and, do what I need to do. It's just how it is. And
you all make it look so easy. I've done a little bit of it, as a bachelor. And I'm like, Thanksgiving meals are hard. I'm just saying, Becca. I mean, now I know why some women get so mad Thanksgiving Day. I'm just saying.
Well, that's what vodka's for, my friend.
I don't drink. Maybe that's the problem. Okay. But you serve, you make it look so easy, and you're an example for other women. What's the future for your chapter in Rolling Thunder as a whole, do you think?
Our children, right? Yeah. So we have, I think we're one of the chapters that have one of the most amount of junior members, and they are the future. If we can't show them what it is to be proud, to be humbled, to be in awe of these service members who gave everything so we can still be free. They gave their lives, they gave up every single ounce of them so we can be able to put the food in the oven and be able to eat that Thanksgiving. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have that. So if we don't teach our children, if we don't teach our future that respect, that humbleness, then there is no future.
Powerful, powerful. Becca, I want to thank you for coming on and talking with me. It's been great. And again, just what a really surreal and serene moment watching your guys' ceremony earlier.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we're going to see who's next, or maybe Michelle will be right back. Stay tuned. And we're back, and the train is rolling. I mean, I know they ride motorcycles, but I feel like we could work in a train because it's on the track, and we're just going now. And my next guest is just a cool guy I've gotten to know. Introduce yourself for us, please.
My name is John Killian. My road name with Rolling Thunder is Johnny K.
Johnny K?
Yes.
Not Johnny Blaze.
No, Johnny K.
Darn. Well, I got to meet you, and we started talking about a lot of things, John. We talked about J.J. Millett and Veterans Advocacy, and you do a lot with Rolling Thunder. How did you get connected with Rolling Thunder, please?
About 12 years ago, I was reading the Patriot Ledger. There was the Veterans Service officer of Randolph. He told in the paper that there was a veteran who passed away, and he had no one at all. And he was asking for veterans and veterans organizations to come down to Bourne for his funeral services. And that's where I first I met Michelle Hamilton and the rest of the folks in Rolling Thunder. And I've been a member ever since.
What's it like being a member?
It's awesome. It's great. Everybody gets along. It's a great group of people. People are always given more than what they receive.
And what do you ride a motorcycle?
No, I don't ride.
Okay. So yeah, your road name's Johnny K. Sorry, I got confused there. No problem. You also do stuff outside of Rolling Thunder.
Yes. I belong to the Scottish American Military Society, and for 26 years, we've been placed on a roof like the Scottish flag at the wall in Washington, D.C.
Now I got to ask, the World Cup was just here. Did you run into any Scots while they were in town?
Oh, yeah, sure.
They were all over the place.
Yes, indeed. There was one establishment, they drank them dry.
Oh, I thought only Marines could do that. I didn't think the Scots could, but I got proven wrong.
Yes.
So many people, John, want to stay alone. They don't want to get out, you know, as a veteran, right? You know, there was a time in my life where it was easier to just watch TV, throw on the Xbox. I still love Xbox, by the way. But to stay in my, you know, little living room hidey hole and go out amongst people. And that's really not a good thing, is it?
No, you have to get out. The veterans, they can't, a lot of veterans from the time of Vietnam, they keep a lot of everything inside, which is really not good for their mental health. They have to speak about their experience in Vietnam.
And just in general, right? Just, you know, hey, I did this.
Right, like where they were stationed and what parts of Vietnam they were stationed.
What else do you like about Rolling Thunder?
We do a lot of good deeds. We have like a Mardi Gras. Then on Memorial Day, Rolling Thunder, they do a ride in remembrance for the veterans who passed away on Memorial Day.
So now, I lived in Louisiana for a while, and when I first heard about the Mardi Gras, I'm like, well, wait a minute, what do Northerners, Yankees know about Mardi Gras? But you all do a pretty good job. You got the beads down and the colors and stuff like that. One thing that amazes me is how many people come out and support you all. What's that do for you when you see everybody coming through and eating and having a good time?
It gives joy to us because people are showing up and they help and support our mission.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I can't believe that we're here and we're doing this. It's been great having you all here, and I really enjoyed your part in the Missing Man ceremony earlier. And not the Missing Man ceremony, excuse me, I'm sorry. I really enjoyed the Pledge of Allegiance. Can you talk about that? What was the significance of you, your part in that? Because that's not usually something that we see.
It kind of felt like I was representing the POWs.
Okay.
That's how it felt.
So when you're standing up there, you represent the POW, whereas she was an American. Yeah. And so you're really connected to the POW experience and what they're trying to what you're trying to convey what they went through.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, Johnny K, I want to thank you for coming up and talking with us. I really appreciate you sharing, and I appreciate your part with the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll be right back. And we're back. And we're closing this out with, one of my best friends. You've been like a sister to me, a cheerleader. You have, when I have been down mentally and physically, you've picked me up. It's just special to be able to have this moment with you. I want to welcome Michelle Hamilton, veteran, businesswoman, and also the president of Rolling Thunder Mass Chapter 2. Michelle, welcome back to Oscar Mike Radio.
I know, it's been a while, huh, Travis?
Well, the last time we did Oscar Mike Radio was in Middleboro.
When our chapter was brand new, you interviewed me. And you were brand new, too.
Yeah.
That was a lot.
That was a long time ago.
When we talked about doing this, I went through the archives looking for pictures of you, and it made me realize how long I've known you, Travis. Wow.
It's not been a short time.
No.
And you've seen me at, my best and at my worst and in between. As a president, you've grown this chapter what it is now, and I'm going to say this again, it's really special to see the children involved with this outreach you all do. It just, when I came the other day and Eva did, her TAPS presentation, and yes, the little boys were running around and, but I'm like, okay, 5 years from now, they'll be doing what she's doing. And Harley brought her daughter. I'm like, this is amazing. And it wouldn't happen if you all in the leadership didn't welcome people. Did you really craft your club this way?
So a lot of veterans organizations are having issues with finding members and getting members. Rolling Thunder's unique in a couple of ways. First and foremost, we are an all-volunteer organization. We are veterans. We are civilians. We are junior members. So we have junior members as part of our chapter, and if we want to maintain a busy chapter, I think you can't welcome young families without young people. So it's part of the game. So we have young people. Sometimes it's a little bit loud, sometimes it's not. We all work together with them.
I think it's great. And then, the other obvious thing is, the number of women not only, attending, but also in leadership positions within the chapter. And it's I don't want to say sad, but it's really unique when you realize, oh yeah, this isn't normal. But you know what? Everybody's working together, everybody's accomplishing a mission, so it does work, and it's just an example that I want people to know about.
I mean, we're different than other orgs in that way, I think. We do have junior members, and we welcome them. As a chapter, we had junior members from the very beginning. We also invite everybody to be on an equal keel. So everybody has the right to vote. Everybody has the responsibilities. I don't even think if you guys realized, but two of our folks who participated in that missing man table, they're brand new members.
I didn't know that.
Brand new members. Like,
you
this is
it. Fooled me.
So everybody works on the same level. Everybody works at the same pace. I pick up the trash just like everybody else does.
Yeah, you do.
So, you know, we're all the same.
So many organizations, like you've alluded to, are losing membership. VFWs are closing. Like, you know, I drove by a couple, you know, today that I'm like, oh, that used to be open and it's not anymore. But even beyond that, beyond mass, Rolling Thunder seems to be doing well and growing. Why is that?
The mission.
Yeah.
I think it's, if within the group you put the mission first, you will always be good. So, you know, the mission is to support families of the prisoners of war and those missing in action. We have a chapter member whose brother's missing in action. Every year we lay a wreath at his grave. Every Memorial Day we talk about him. Every POW MIA recognition day we have them to our breakfast and we make sure that they're included. We've been there to repatriate remains. I got to watch a son get his gold star pinned to his vest because his dad, remains of his dad, came home. So, I mean, those are special moments, and we get to participate in that just because we're Rolling Thunder members. It's spectacular to be there for those families. And I think if everybody realized there's 80,000 missing in action folks, I you know, you never go anywhere that there isn't some family affected by a missing in action family member. And we forget about that. We don't acknowledge that. So we make it a point to acknowledge that.
A lot of people can't believe still there's 80,000 service members that haven't been accounted for. And I'm like, how can you not know that? What do we do to make the education of that part of the military, you know, experience more prevalent?
I think we just keep talking about it, yeah. Right? And we keep being there for those families. We have been able to interact with former prisoners of war and missing in action families. And I think that if you understand the generational impact that a missing in action family member has, if for 1 minute you think about this is grandpa talking about his brother to the grandchildren and he's still missing in action, I think that it's significant.
You all have, I mean, I've known you for a little while now, but I've always remembered where, you know, it was either a big event or a small event, I'd always see Mass Chapter 2 or 1 there. And sometimes other groups, oh yeah, I'm going to show up, and oh, I got busy, we just didn't come. But you guys have always been there. And I think that really makes you all unique in this day and age when people are doing things for social media engagement or for money or just because, you know, it's easy. You all do the hard things too. And where does that come from?
You just show up. I mean, it's what we do.
Well, you think
it's
that's just normal, but it's not.
You make a commitment, you show up. That's how we look at it. That's how we think about it. It isn't easy sometimes, and we'll sit at home and be like, oh, my God, I'm so tired. But it's your obligation to show up. So we do.
It's just that easy.
Yeah.
You know, again, like I alluded to, you know, Michelle literally saw me, you know, when I was not, you know, walking and doing that. And, you know, it was just... I'm trying to summon the words of what it was like when I'm like, Michelle, I am not feeling good. I can't believe how bad I feel and how, you know, hard this is. And you got this. And I just wanted to close by saying that, you know, I appreciate you. I appreciate Pete. I appreciate all of you out there. You all mean the world to me. Thank you so much.
Always, Travis. I got your back, buddy.
I believe that, folks. And she's one of the few women on this planet who can, with complete impunity, tell me what to do, tell me that I'm messing up, but also, hey, you know what, Trav? You actually did a pretty good job there. Now I need you to calm down and, you know, talk to me about this and that, and, you know, when are you going to be here? And it's just, like I said, she's like an older sister I never had. So, again, thank you.
My pleasure.
This has been a special time, special moment. There's some special friends of mine in the audience. I'm not going to embarrass them too bad and have them come up here. But the people you saw come up and talk to me, I've known for quite some time. They've all shared openly about why veteran service means something to them. And so if you're looking for an organization to join and or donate to or support, you'd be hard-pressed to find one better than Mass Chapter 2, Rolling Thunder. So
90-something chapters in Rolling Thunder. It's not just us. We're big in every part of this country.
I know.
So not just about us.
I mean, she never quits. It never stops. I get corrected, like, right now. And you know,
I love
she,
you, Travis.
I know. And she's right. And you know what? You did that pretty good. I didn't think Ty's going to do that. But the national, 90 chapters nationally, and again, they used to meet. I remember when they rode to D.C.,
yeah.
And a lot of people thought when the D.C. ride was over that you all would kind of just fade into nothingness.
Nope.
But if you look at the numbers, Rolling Thunder as a national org is very prominent, very powerful, and very involved with things locally at the national level, and I don't think it's an accident.
It's about the families, you know. We rode this past month. We were able to ride in the ride in D.C. at the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam Wall. 1.5 million bikers in that parking lot. When Johnny Kay said to you about people, we rode up front with Rolling Thunder, which is not up front. Trust me, there's a ton of Rolling Thunder bikes and chapters. So we rode up front with Rolling Thunder. We made it back to our hotel. And we could see the Pentagon parking lot, and bikes were still pulling out. 1.5 million.
6 hours later.
6 hours
if,
later.
If they ever do it again, I'm there. I'm there. Again, I want to thank you all for making this special day just an amazing time. From the Pledge of Allegiance to the Missing Man table to, you know, talking about the cage, and then all of you coming up and sharing with us. Believe me that other people, other veterans will see this and learn from it. So again, thank you for your time. Thank you for joining me on this special day. We're Mission in Flight. We'll see you next time.
Let's eat.
Every generation, every sacrifice. Our nation's service members have stood up for our freedom, our families, and our future. Now it's our turn to stand up for them. This year, you can honor their service in a deeply personal way by sponsoring a $17 Veterans Wreath. Each wreath is more than a symbol. It's a heartfelt tribute to the heroes who served and to the families who carry their legacy. Visit wreathsacrossamerica.org to sponsor a wreath today. This isn't just a wreath. It's a personal gift to an American hero.
Thank you for listening and watching Oscar Mike Radio, where our active duty service members and veterans are in action. And the mission is in flight. Oscar Mike Radio is an Oversized Load Co-Sinister One production. If you are a veteran or know a veteran who needs help, please dial 988 and press 1 for the Veterans Crisis Line.